السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. Okay, so just a quick review of what we talked about last week. We talked about the return of the Prophet ﷺ to Medina Munawwara with the Sahaba after the victory of Badr. And we talked about how they decided to take ransom from the captives or the prisoners of war. We talked about some of the different incidents that occurred. For example, Abbas radiallahu anh, the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, was one of those caught in Badr. And when the Prophet ﷺ asked him to pay the ransom, knowing that he is a rich man and he can afford it, Abbas radiallahu anhu said that I don't have any wealth. I can't afford to pay the ransom. So Rasulullah ﷺ told him that what about the wealth that you have hidden in such and such place? So this is news from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Abbas radiallahu anhu also already having the seed of Iman in his heart, that basically gave him that this is truly a prophet, and no one could have known this information except the Prophet, and he became Muslim. We also talked about the son-in-law of the Prophet ﷺ, Abu al-As.
He became Muslim at that time?
Who? Abbas radiallahu anhu. There, some of the opinions, they say that that's where he confirmed his faith. And then he went back to Mecca to basically act as a spy for the Muslims. He was the ears and eyes of the Prophet ﷺ in Mecca, up to Fath Mecca. Up to the conquest of Mecca, he remained as a Muslim in Mecca Mukarramah. So Abu al-As was also the son-in-law of the Prophet ﷺ. We talked about how he was captured in Badr, and his wife Zainab radiallahu anha, the daughter of the Prophet ﷺ, sent a golden necklace or a necklace that her mother, her late mother Khadija radiallahu anha, had given her as a wedding gift. So she sent that along with some money to pay for her ransom for her husband, who was not Muslim. Abu al-As was not Muslim. The daughter of the Prophet ﷺ was Muslim, but the husband was not. And the Prophet ﷺ, seeing this necklace, he was reminded of Khadija radhiallahu anha, and he started to cry, and he asked the Sahaba, if you allow this to be forgiven and give it back. And they actually they accepted that, and they sent it back to Zainab radiallahu anha, and they sent Abu al-As back to Mecca on the condition that he will send the daughter of the Prophet ﷺ to Medina. So he remained in Medina, in Mecca, and he sent the daughter. And then later on we talked about how he was in Syria or Sham doing some kind of business. He was captured by some Muslims who took his wealth and they let him go free. He came to Medina and then he asked the Prophet, basically people found out what happened. And when he went, the Muslims who had taken his wealth, they were requested by the Prophet to return his money, his wealth that they had taken from him. And they did that. So the Prophet sent him back to Mecca, and he actually became Muslim right then and there. He went to Mecca, he gave all his accounts, settled all his accounts, and then he started giving da'wah to Islam, and then he returned back to Medina as a Muslim. So that was the son-in-law of the Prophet ﷺ. Abu al-As ibn Rabi, yeah. And then we talked about Umayr ibn Wahab, who his son, he was one of those who fought in Badr, and his son was captured in Badr. And then he and Safwan ibn Umayyah, they had secretly made plans to assassinate the Prophet ﷺ. Safwan saying that he will take care of the debts and the family of Umayr if anything happens to him, but he has to go and assassinate the Prophet ﷺ. So he did that, and when he went, we talked about how Umar radhan had grabbed him. He knew his intent. He thought that this man has evil intentions. He took him, dragging him to the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ let him go. And then the Prophet ﷺ asking him, what's your reason for coming? He said, because of my son. He said, no, what about that pact you had made with Safwan next to the Kaaba? And again, Umair ibn Wahab became, radiallahu anhu, he became a Sahabi, knowing that no one knew this information. There was no one there listening. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must have informed him, and he is a prophet of Allah. So he became Muslim. So continuing on, this is after Badr. So one of the things that happened, this is right towards the end of Ramadan, before Eid. There was a woman by the name of Asma. She was a Jewess. She was living in Medina Munawwara, and she would recite poetry attacking the honor of the Prophet ﷺ and derogatory nature and whatnot. She would do that. She'd recite these poems, and also in one narration it's mentioned that she would dispose of her sanitary cloth. So the cloth that a woman uses, or pads nowadays, pads that they use in the time of their periods, she would dispose those cloths inside the masjid. She'll throw it inside the masjid of the Prophet in Medina Munawwara. So she had this hatred towards the Muslims, and she would recite this poetry. And towards the end of Ramadan, before the Prophet had returned from Badr, she recited some more derogatory poetry, and the Prophet was still on his way back, or he was in Badr, coming back from Badr. So Umair ibn Adi, he was a blind Sahabi, and he made a vow. He said that I will either, he said that basically when the Prophet ﷺ returns, then I will kill this woman. He made a vow that he will kill this woman. And when the Prophet ﷺ had returned, without informing the Prophet ﷺ, he took his sword, a blind man, took his sword in the middle of the night, went straight to her house. And he basically, when he found her, he killed her right there on the spot. And he came back to the Prophet ﷺ in the morning for Fajr. When he prayed Fajr, he asked the Prophet, he told the Prophet ﷺ what he had done. And he said, "Will I be taken to account for this?" And the Prophet ﷺ said the words are to the meaning of that over this matter, not even two goats would ram their heads together. I mean, no one would care about this. This is not something that you're going to be taken account for. Another man that was assassinated by a Sahabi was named Abu Afak. He was also a Jew living in Medina, and he was very old. Some narrations say he was over 100 years old, but he would recite poetry defaming the Prophet, derogatory in nature to the Prophet ﷺ, and he would incite hostility against the Muslims, against the Prophet ﷺ. So Rasulullah ﷺ himself asked, "Who will stand in preservation of my honor against this evil man?" And one of the Sahaba by the name of Salim ibn Umair, he's not related to Umair ibn Adi, but another Sahabi, Salim ibn Umair, he rose and he said to the Prophet, "I have made an oath that I will either kill him or I will die trying." So the Prophet sent him, and he went and he killed this man, Abu Afak. Another man that was killed, and this is actually the following year, in the third year of Hijri, and we're going to forward, but I know it's a year later, almost like 8 months later, but it was in the 14th of the Rabiul Awwal, in the third year of Hijrah, and there was a man by the name of Ka'b ibn Ashraf, and I'm sure you've heard his name before. He's very famous. He was one of the leaders of the Jews, and actually his castle still remains today. If you go to Medina Munawwara, his castle still remains. Some of the walls have fallen, but the castle still remains. They have put a fence around it, and basically no one's allowed to go near it now. And actually they say that the Jews are claiming that property as their own. They're saying that we own this property, so you have to take care of it. So they have some kind of agreement or something, Allah alam what it is, but that's the house of Ka'b ibn Ashraf. So when the news of Badr came to the people of Medina that the Muslims have won the battle, Ka'b ibn Ashraf was so upset about this news that he said, "If this is true, then the interior of the earth is better than exterior. Meaning it's better for me to be dead and buried in the ground than to be walking on this earth." So he said this, and he set out to Makkah Mukarramah, and he actually gathered the Quraysh. He started reciting poetry against the Prophet ﷺ, inciting them to get together and swear revenge. And he actually got them. He started making fiery speeches and whatnot. And he actually got the leaders of Quraysh. They got together with him. They went to the Kaaba, holding on to the kiswa, or the curtains of the Kaaba. And they swore that they will take revenge against the Muslims, that they will go and fight them again and prepare for another battle against them. So this Ka'b ibn Ashraf was doing this, and one time, he went back to Medina because that's where his home was. And one time, for example, he invited the Prophet ﷺ and Sahaba to his house for dinner, and his intention was to assassinate the Prophet ﷺ. He had some people hiding in another room, and basically with weapons, and they were going to just come out and kill the Prophet ﷺ while he was in his house eating or whatever. And Jibreel ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ hadn't even sat down yet, that Jibreel ﷺ came and informed him about the assassination plot. So the Prophet ﷺ hurriedly left and was protected by Jibreel ﷺ. He left the house. So that was one of the incidents that happened with this Ka'b ibn Ashraf. So Rasulullah ﷺ asked the Sahaba that who will take care of this man, this evil man. And one of the Sahaba by the name of Muhammad ibn Maslama radiallahu anh, he stood up. He said, "Ya Rasulullah, I am ready to do that. But allow me, if you allow me, can I say some words to trick him? Or can I say some words against you?" Meaning, I'll have to use some trickery, I'll say some words against you to gain his trust. So the Prophet ﷺ said that you are allowed to do that. So Muhammad ibn Maslama went, and he knew him from before. Remember, they were living in the same city, they would have trade and whatnot. So Muhammad ibn Maslama goes to him with another man, a Sahabi by the name of Abu Na'ila. And they go together and they talk to him, and they're basically complaining about the Prophet ﷺ, saying, you know, ever since he came, look at our situation, we're poor, we have to share our food with him, and we have to do all this stuff, and we have nothing to eat. So he says to him, can you let us borrow, because you're a rich man, so let us borrow some grain, give us some food. And Ka'b ibn Ashraf, again, these are not honorable people, they're really dishonorable people and stuff. So he says, what will you give me as, rehan? Rehan is like a deposit. So what will you give me as a deposit against this food? And he said, I don't know, you tell me. He says, well, give me your women. He said, give me your women as a deposit against, like, meaning that if you don't pay up on time, basically your women are mine. So he says this to him. And Muhammad ibn Maslama, you can imagine, he probably got infuriated, like, how could he dare say something like this? But he says to him that, you know, you're a very handsome man, and you know, we're scared to give. We can't do that because then it'll get against us. So we can't do that. So he said, okay, give us your children. Give us your children against this food. And he said, no, then, you know, our children will grow up and people will taunt them that you were given at one time for food, meaning in exchange for food. So he said, we can't do that either. And then he says, well, how about, you know, our weapons? We have swords and stuff, and you know how much they're worth. How about we give you our weapons? And he said, okay, that's fine. So they set a time, either it was that same night or the next night, that we'll meet. And Muhammad ibn Maslama radiallahu anhu, along with Abu Na'ila, come to the castle of Ka'b ibn Ashraf, and they're standing out and they call his name. And the wife of Ka'b ibn Ashraf, she was you know, in the house with him, and she heard him, and she asked her husband, where are you going at this time of night? And he said, no, don't worry, it's my friends. They're calling me and we have some business deal going on or something. So she says, don't go, I smell blood. I smell blood, that there's something up, there's something going on, so I fear that for your life. He said, no, don't worry, they're my old friends, they're not going to do anything to me. Let me go and meet them. So he goes out, and as they're talking and stuff, one of the things with Ka'b ibn Ashraf, again, he was a very wealthy man, and he would wear very nice perfume and, you know, smell cologne and stuff. So Muhammad ibn Maslama, he says to him that, you know, that smells very good. What is that perfume you're wearing, or what do you have? So he says, I don't know, this is whatever he tells him. And then he says, well, if you allow me, can I smell your perfume? And at that time, remember, even in the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, they would put oud, for example, in their hair. That was one of the sunnah, it's in the sunnah, mentioned in the hadith, that the Prophet ﷺ would put the oud in his hair. For example, when he would be putting on the ihram and whatnot. So he says, okay, you can smell. So he puts his head down, and Muhammad ibn Maslama, he smells the perfume. He says, oh, this is very nice. And he tells the other Sahaba, or the other Sahabi who was with him, you smell it too. So they smelled it, and then they start continuing talking. And then he says again, you know, can I smell your hair one more time? It was very, very nice. So he says he puts his head down again, and he says that he just grabbed his braids of his head and his hair, and he took out his sword or his knife, whatever he had, and they killed him. They cut off his head, and they brought his head to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that was the end of Ka'b ibn Ashraf. And again, this was because he would incite, he would recite poetry against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, defaming the Prophet, trying to defame the Prophet, or derogatory poetry, and he would also incite hostility against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is a cause for someone, even nowadays with our current laws and stuff, if someone does that, talks against the government and does that kind of stuff, then they will be imprisoned and then probably even executed for doing that kind of stuff. So anyways, going on, there was another Ghazwa Banu Qaynuqa related with the Jews. This happened in Shawwal, right after Ramadan of the Badr, or so a month after Badr basically. And they said that there was a Muslim woman who had gone to Suq of Banu Qaynuqa. This is one of the Jewish tribes. So there was three Jewish tribes living in Medina Manawara: Banu Qaynuqa, Banu Qurayza, and Banu Nadir. These are the three tribes living there. And Banu Qaynuqa, they had their own area where they were living, and they had their own marketplace. So a Muslim woman was there shopping, and as she was shopping, she was sitting in a chair or something, and they basically tied her burqa to the chair. Secretly, they went when she was busy shopping, and they tied her burqa. So when she stood up, her part of her body became uncovered, and they started mocking her and laughing at her in the marketplace. And one of the Muslims who was nearby saw this. He actually came and he killed the person who they were, the one who was standing there who had done that to her. He killed him right there on the spot, and then they killed him. So there was, again, there was like this hostility that took place. The Prophet ﷺ went to their marketplace, and he says, "Ya ma'ashur al-Yahud," he said, called out to them, and he said, "Ihdharu min Allah mithla ma nazala bi Quraysh min al-Naqma wa aslimu." And so he's giving them da'wah and warning them basically that fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fear the wrath and of the Muslims basically, and what happened, what befell the Quraysh. So what we did to the Quraysh in Badr, the same can happen to you if you continue this hostility against us. And he asked them to become Muslim. And basically he said, فَإِنَّكُمْ قَدْ أَرَفْتُمْ أَنِّي نَبِيٌّ مُرْسَلٍ. He said that you know that I am a prophet. It's in your books. And you have the knowledge that I am the final prophet. So become Muslim. So he was giving them da'wah. And they stood up and they responded, saying to him in hostility, that Ya Muhammad, he's saying to them, you know that we are a people, we're different than the Quraysh. And he said that you fought these people of Quraysh, they don't know how to fight, we know how to fight. And if you come and try to attack us, or if you want to come to us on the battlefield, you'll learn who we are and how powerful we are. So basically they responded in this rude way in front of everyone and in public, and basically saying, confirming their hostility, and that they're ready for war, they're ready to fight the Prophet ﷺ. So the Prophet ﷺ, after that he ordered the Muslims to get together, and they actually went, when they were going towards the properties of Banu Qaynuqa, they went inside their houses, sealed the doors, they had forts, and the Muslims sieged them for about 15 days. It lasted for about 15 days, and after about 15 days, when they were running out of supplies and they knew that they're not going to be able to win, they actually gave up. They gave up, and the Prophet ﷺ had them tied up, and they were brought in front of the Prophet ﷺ, and at the behest of Abdullah ibn Ubay. Abdullah ibn Ubay, who was a former Jew, and he actually, he was one of the leaders of Medina, and he was a hypocrite. After Badr, he acted like he was Muslim. He actually came to the Prophet ﷺ and pleaded on their behalf not to kill them, just to let them go. So the Prophet ﷺ agreed, and basically they took spoils from them and they banished them from the city. So they were told to leave Medina Manawara. So they had to leave. So they were the first people to break the agreement, the peace agreement with the Muslims from the three Jewish tribes, and they were banished as a cause of that. Another ghazwa that took place, where the Prophet ﷺ had also accompanied the Muslims, was in Dhul Hijjah of the second year. So the same year, but the last month of the same year, the second year of Hijri. And what happened was, this is called Ghazwa Sawiq. And I'll talk about in a minute why it was called Sawiq. So Abu Sufyan, when he had gotten back to Makkah Mukarramah, he swore an oath that he will not take a bath. He will not take a bath until they attack the Muslims again. When they go and they'll attack the Muslims and launch an attack against the Muslims. So and that's a few months. Now, I don't know if he secretly took a shower or not or what. I mean, I don't know the details. But the thing is, he made this oath. And he went for about 3-4 months probably without taking a bath. Finally, they launched the attack. He came with 200 mounted soldiers, so 200 horsemen. And they went to a place called Uraid, which is about 3 miles away from Medina Munawwara, where there's some date palm groves and farms. So they killed 2 Muslim farmers. They burned some date trees, and they took some, whatever dates or something, whatever they took, and they just basically did like a surprise attack, and they killed 2 people, and they just took off, and they went back towards Makkah. The Prophet, when they found out, he took some Sahaba, and they went to attack them and basically catch them, but they were too far ahead. They had vanished and escaped, so they were not able to catch up to them. One of the things that the Quraysh did as they were fleeing, as they were going back to Makkah, is that they, to lighten their load, they dropped bags of sawiq. And sawiq is like a food. I don't know if you guys have eaten panjiri. I don't know if you know what that is. It's like an Urdu dish, a Pakistani dish. It's like atta, like grain or wheat or something, and then they put butter and now they add like nuts and almonds and all that kind of stuff into it. But it was something like that. It was like kind of like that, yeah. But it was like barley or oat with flour mixed with ghee with butter. So it's called sawiq. So they dropped that, and that made their load light, and they were running. So the Sahaba were able to get that sawiq, and they ate from that sawiq. The Prophet also. So that's why it was called Ghazwa Sawiq. So we'll stop there, inshallah. Next week we'll talk about another major incident that happened right after Badr, or close to after Badr. There's a disagreement of when it exactly happened, but it was around that same time where the marriage of Fatima radiallahu anha, the daughter of the Prophet to Ali radiallahu anha. So we'll talk about that next week, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khair. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.